Hi guys, and welcome back to Clueless, the podcast. So, if you don't know where you're going in your life or where you want to go next, then this is the podcast for you. We're here to share our stories and hear from your experiences and hopefully inspire you guys to follow the career that you want to do and live the life that you want to live. As always, don't forget to follow us on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts and on Instagram at @Clueless_the_podcast. I just want to quickly say, guys, before we go into the next guest, thank you so much for all the support, for the comments, for the DMs. You know, it's such a nice feeling and it's so nice to hear from other people that can relate. We're not alone. We're all in this together. But yeah, thank you so much for all the love and support.
So our next guest is model, actress and singer Alexandria Morgan. Alexandria has modeled with the likes of Guess, traveled around the globe and featured in some world famous catwalks. Not only is she a successful model, she also runs a super popular YouTube channel with over 300,000 subscribers, where she gives her audience an insight into the day-to-day life of a full-time model in New York City.
We'll be discussing how Alexandria found her passion in the modeling and entertainment industry, the realities of model life, the pressures of social media, and lastly, Alexandria's tips on how to gain confidence as a young 20-something going into the working world.
So firstly, thanks so much, Alexandria, for coming onto the podcast. We love your videos and your honesty just about your life and the modeling industry. It is really refreshing. So yeah, the first question kind of is just to kind of tell us a little bit more about yourself. What were you kind of doing before you entered the modeling industry, like career wise?
Well, before I started modeling, I was just in school. I was a freshman in college and studying journalism, but I really didn't know like what I eventually wanted to do with that, maybe like broadcast journalism. But it was just, you know, sometimes when you're at university, you can have this awkward phase where it feels like middle school again, because you're in with new people you don't know, and you're kind of finding yourself. So honestly, like, I was a little lost. So in a way, like, modeling kind of helped me find a path for me and a plan.
Yeah. No, totally. So were you thinking of doing like journalism before you kind of got into modeling then?
Yeah, so I had always loved writing. Like, I wrote for my school's newspaper, and I liked speaking on video, like doing debate team and stuff like that. So it eventually was what I thought I might do, but I still, I don't know, like the steps to get there, I didn't know what I was gonna take or, you know, how it would work out.
Yeah, totally. I feel like everyone's like that.
Yeah, they go to college, they take a course, and then like they don't know if that's what they want to do for their career. They're just like, yeah, we'll see.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because it's so different than what you expect before you take the class, and you're like, oh, is this really what I want to do? And I'm paying
literally,
money.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I guess America as well, it must be like college is expensive, so it's like even more pressure for you guys to kind of like,
yeah, because like even if you don't like it, you're like, oh, but I've paid all this money to take these courses, so I'm kind of stuck with it.
Yeah, that sucks. So like, how did you kind of get into modeling, and like, when did you realize that you're like, whoa, this is something that I actually want to do full time as a career?
So I was scouted on Facebook through like a friend of a friend, and it was just, I'm usually a pretty routine person, but she just was like, hey, do you want to meet up for coffee, maybe talk about modeling? And I had been scouted before, like on the street and stuff, but I always like assumed it was a scam and like ran away.
But stranger danger.
Exactly. Stranger danger. But something like, I don't know, in my gut made me want to take a chance and meet up with, she's my manager now, Heather Bazone. And I met her and we instantly like connected. It was one of those people you feel like you've known your whole life. And she really believed in me and helped me feel confident in myself. And I started modeling, signed with my first agency, and eventually I was doing school and modeling, but it didn't make sense to be spending money on school when I was missing so much of it. And I was developing this great career through modeling, and it just becomes like a great opportunity. And
That's so cool. I didn't know you could get scouted through like Facebook. Like, I've heard of it on the street, but I didn't know that was like a thing. I guess nowadays.
Oh, totally. Instagram, all that. I mean, you got to be careful, Insta. Because there's also like people who literally will pretend to be agencies, and you know, there's definitely still scammers online for sure, but there's also like legit agents who will go and just go through random Instagrams and scout people that way.
That's so cool. That's,
yeah, really interesting. So obviously you've done a lot since then. From coming a model, you've like modeled for Guess and done some runway shows, and just your career really has taken off. Has there been like a highlight moment where you're like, oh, this is actually pretty cool that this is my job.
There's been a couple. One that really stands out to me is just when I had my guest campaign and seeing like my face in like these giant billboards and in stores, and like my family is from a small town in Illinois and the closest guest store is 3 hours away in Chicago, and they all drove to that guest store in Chicago. Aww, that's to like hilarious. See the posters, and my parents are like borderline creepy stalkers, so they asked like the managers after like the season was over and they were gonna just take down those posters and replace them with the next campaign if they could have them.
Oh, that's so cool. Actually, that's a good idea.
When the season was over, my parents went and got it, and now they basically have it looks like a shrine in the basement.
That's such a good idea. That must be so, like, I can't even imagine what it must be like, especially something like Guess, which is, so popular and everyone knows. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
so,
probably in the UK as well, the campaign and everything. Like, yeah. That's just actually just insane. I don't know how I'd react if there was a big picture of me just like.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know if I'd like that. Be like,
It's a bit weird. I mean, even today, like, there's this one ad I did for a nail polish company, and it's in the window by a salon by my house. And every time my boyfriend and I walk by, he's like, there you are, really loud and obnoxious.
That's so funny. So, like, I don't really know much about, the kind of modeling industry. Like, what is it actually like as a full-time model for those that don't really know? And is it, like, did your expectations actually match the reality of it? Because I'm assuming that it's actually, so many long days and, like, traveling all the time. Like, what's it actually like?
It is like that, and I think my only expectations or like knowledge of modeling came from watching America's Next Top Model when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and it's grueling, but it's not like no one's making you shave your head and like. Well, I mean sometimes, but it's not that extreme. But it definitely is not like this glamorous lifestyle that you think when you think of like the '90s supermodels, like making $10,000 a day and like jetting off to Cancun or whatever. It's very you go on a lot of castings, which is basically a job interview that you have to do with different people every time, and then if you're lucky you get picked for a job, and then you go to set and spend a lot of time waiting around while people do your hair and your makeup. And the actual, like, for example, like an e-commerce job, like if I'm shooting for H&M or Zara or any client where it's like you go online to go shopping, you basically just try on clothes the whole day. It's like going to the fitting room at the mall, except for someone else is putting the clothes on you.
That's
and then
so crazy.
So it kind of becomes a little bit mundane and long hours. My feet are absolutely destroyed from the amount of weird shoes I've had to wear.
Oh my God.
And it's a lot more physically and mentally draining, I think, than most people would expect.
Yeah.
It's not like a lot of downtime between jobs. So like you may work for like a couple days a week, and then is it just like castings, or do you have like a lot of free time?
This is where it's like weird, because there's really no like set schedule. There's nothing that's like set in stone, so you could have where you work nonstop for like 2 weeks, even like on weekends, or you could have a stretch like where it's a dry spell and you don't work for except for like one day in a month. You can have like six castings in a day for like 3 days straight, or like one casting in a week. It's very sporadic, and it's based on like the time of the season. Like on August, everyone's on holiday, so it's like slow then, and just randomness, like most things in life. But a little all over the place.
Yeah, I bet.
So do you think so as a model in 20s, is it how do you find that, especially being in like the 21st century? Do you think there's kind of enough support for mental health within the industry? Like, do you think people, like, they've learned like lessons maybe from the past? Is there more support for girls now? Or
I definitely think that they have been moving towards improving and being more aware of like, hey, these are models, they're not mannequins, they're people.
Yeah.
It's definitely still, there's definitely room for improvement for sure, but there's organizations like Model Alliance and the Model Mafia who are trying to like create literal laws through like federal local governments to make sure there's resources for models, and like there's resources for models to report sexual assault or mistreatment like when they're on set. Yeah. And it definitely is getting better. My agency in Los Angeles, LA Models, has been wonderful. They send out emails with like links for resources from everything from like, you know, body, mental health with when it comes to eating and like harassment and just tools that I wish I would have had when I was at the beginning of my career. But it's great that now like things are getting a little bit better.
That's good. I guess it kind of goes on to my next question then. So like, are there things that you wish you knew before kind of entering the industry, or and like maybe what sort of advice would you give to someone that's potentially wanting to go into this sort of industry?
Oh, that's, you know, it's kind of a struggle when you go into this and you're young. I'm glad that I was like on the little bit older side, because there's girls who go into this industry at like 12 and 13.
Yeah, that's mad.
And it's very easy to lose yourself, because unlike a lot of jobs where like you have your job and you come home, so much of modeling is tied up in your image and you that it can be hard to separate work life from like your personal life and not have that constantly be affecting your mental state. And just one of the other things, not really related, that I wish I would have known or told myself is to be better at like saving money and planning, because you could have a job and think that you're like set, and then you could have a month where you book nothing but editorials, and those don't usually pay. I think that's another thing that the industry could help do to help models, is like develop some sort of ways to set them up with like financial planners and advisors. Because especially for girls who come here from like other countries and have like visas to pay for and all these taxes and expenses, you don't really think about when you get like the check, you know, after work.
That's, I suppose it's really easy to like kind of be taken advantage of as a young model or a teenager, someone even in their early 20s. I mean, you're going into this new industry, you don't really know how it works or how much you should be getting paid. Do you think there's a lot of that kind of taking advantage of young women in the industry?
100%, because exactly like you said, these are young girls who are going up against agencies who have a huge legal team, and you almost feel like they're like a teacher who can scold you. It's a weird relationship. It's not like a normal workplace relationship, because like technically your agency isn't your boss. Like, they are supposed to work with you, but sometimes if you have a bad agency, they can make you doubt yourself, because they'll be like, no, this is how it's done, this is what you're supposed to do, we've been in this industry. Like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but you know, there's just ways that they can manipulate and use their power to hold girls down or make them feel less confident.
And I think it doesn't help as well, like the job is so, like you said, you can get a paycheck one month, but then like the next month you might not have a lot of money, and like it actually must be really stressful kind of like balancing all your finances and stuff. I mean, it's hard enough like when, you know, in your 20s, but it must be even harder when you've not really got that stability.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially you can fall into a trap if you're a girl who moves into like a model apartment, and you can end up having so many debts to your agency. And it's definitely something, I think a lot of people have this misconception that models are all rich. Most models, especially high fashion shows, like editorials, they don't really pay, or you'll get paid with clothes from the designer. So you'll have these girls who are like walking in 50 shows during fashion month and making hardly any money.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's just insane.
That's
terrible.
You just don't think that, like, I watched one of your videos and you mentioned that for editorials you don't get paid anything, but you were saying like, okay, the makeup artist gets paid or the photographer, the hairstylist, everyone bar the model, and like that just doesn't seem to make any sense to me, because you're working just as hard.
And it's, I mean, they say it's because you get like that privilege of being in that magazine, because like you get that exposure, and eventually that will help you book job, like commercial jobs. But there's not really like a, you know, way to prove that this editorial will book me this job. And when they say it's, oh, it's the worth of, you don't get paid, but you get paid in the privilege of being in it. It's like, what's like the conversion rate of like how much privilege is worth?
That's so bad. Like, you don't even, I cannot do that.
It makes it hard when it's like a 13-hour day and you're like, I'm getting nothing from this.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's really must be hard. So like kind of moving on from that, because it is quite an unconventional career path, as you were saying, it's not like your usual 9-to-5 office job where there's that structure and stability. So is there ever points where you're like, oh, I wish there was more structure to my days, or wondered what a more conventional or standard office job might be like? Like, have you ever considered that?
Oh, 100%, because, you know, it just makes it so hard. Like, say your friend's like, hey, I mean, obviously this is before Corona, but they're like, hey, you want to go to a concert, you know, in a month. You generally don't know, like, what your schedule is going to be in a month or in a week or sometimes even the next day.
The next day? Oh, my God.
Yeah, because sometimes there'll be, like, a last-minute casting or, like, a client who had a model who got sick and they need a replacement. Like, it's very... you feel like you're on call all the time, basically. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I do wish I had, you know, like a 9-to-5 with like a normal HR department and like normal things. But then also I think that I would get restless. I would get like bored easily. So it's, I mean, everything in life has its negatives and positives, I guess. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think it's so true that obviously modeling, okay, it's an unconventional job, but like I think that's actually quite a good thing, quite a cool thing. Like so many of us just get thrown into this, the 9-to-5 is the way you do things, and like there are good parts about that, like okay, you can really go out on the weekend and enjoy that, and then there is more structure and routine to your week, but also there's something to be said about living a more unconventional career, and obviously modeling, just there is really like great highs to it as well as the lows. But I think one of your videos you were just saying that the highs definitely outweigh the lows.
It is a great opportunity, and in the long run it's not like I'm doing manual, I mean sometimes it feels like manual labor, but there's you know, there's doctors who pour so much work into like saving lives and doing all this, and you know, there's teachers who are severely underpaid and working hours and working long hours with children who are like screaming at them. And in the long run, like, it is, I do recognize, like, it's an extremely privileged career to have and great opportunity. It's just, I think sometimes people think it's only the good things.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I like, even your YouTube and stuff, like, you're hella real, like, you're so, it's so refreshing and stuff. And I guess in your channel as well, like, people will find it hard to believe, but I found it hard to believe when you said that, like, you didn't have that much confidence in high school and kind of struggle with dating and stuff. And I guess so many other people feel like that as well, and like in day-to-day life, and especially as a woman, I think. So how do you kind of find the confidence, or how did you find the confidence to really like embrace yourself?
I mean, girl, to be honest, I'm working on that every day.
Me too.
It's not something like, I don't think you wake up one day and you're like, yeah, I love myself, I'm confident, that's it, I'm never gonna not feel confident.
Yeah,
you know, it's highs and lows, and it's still a learning process. I think with every phase of my life and every year, there's a different way that I need to reflect and work on myself to feel confident. But I think honestly, like, thinking of myself less has helped me be confident in a way. And I know that sounds weird, but if I'm like just constantly thinking like, oh, what can I do to make myself more confident, and so in my head, then it's like I'm too in my head and I can be self-deprecating. So when I think of like ways I can help others, and that's kind of why I like sharing how I've kind of learned to be a little bit more confident, is because if I have someone else message me and say like, oh my gosh, like when you said comparison is the thief of joy, like that helped me realize I should stop comparing myself and became more confident. Knowing that like I can help others be more confident, like that makes me feel more confident. Does that make sense at all?
No, totally. And like, yeah, I think it must be hard as well for you, because your career is all, like, as a model, it must be, I cannot imagine that, like, being based on how you look, like you're constantly like judged on that. And I think that's like, your outlook is such a good and healthy outlook to have.
It's definitely hard.
Yeah, kind of like, so leading on from that, I mean, social media obviously plays a part within the modeling career now. It's all about, oh yeah, building followers and posting pictures of yourself, and but just people in regular day, it's all about like, yeah, how many followers do you have, or just posting pictures, like this whole influencer culture now. So how do you really think social media kind of impacts on women's confidence and self-worth? We kind of loved your quote that you had in one of your YouTube videos, which was, comparison is the thief of joy, and I can definitely relate to that.
Oh, thanks. I mean, that's something I have to tell myself every time, you know, when you're on Instagram. And I mean, especially in lockdown, I feel like it's really been at the forefront of my mind, because you'll see people who are basically on like an extended staycation, yeah. You know, and like their luxury houses with like perfect makeup on to do yoga. And I'm in like the pajamas that I put on 2 days ago.
Yeah, preach that.
And like, it's hard not to compare yourself to the things you see on social media, but I think you just have to take a step back and realize everyone on social media is showing the best version of themselves. It's calculated. Yeah. You know, comparison on social media can be really toxic, and I think it's good to like take breaks from social media. I do that a lot, and the days that I don't check Instagram, honestly, I feel like I am a lot happier than versus days where I'm scrolling, because then it's so hard not to compare yourself.
Yeah. And I think that's like refreshing for someone like you to say that, because I'm sure so many girls and like other people will be looking at you like, oh my God, her life is so perfect. Like, she's a model. Like, she's so good looking. So yeah, I think, and it's nice that, you know, everyone feels the same. It's not
for sure. And I know sometimes I feel a little like guilty for contributing, because I know how that feels, because I've looked at other people's pages and had that feeling, and like, it's not a fun feeling.
Yeah.
And, but then I look at my page and I'm like, oh, this looks aesthetically, there's no theme to this. Or I'm like, you know, I'm self-critical of my own stuff. Or I look at the picture and think about how on that day I was actually in a really bad mood, and then, you know, took hours to do my makeup and didn't like the outfit on me. But
yeah,
because of social media, you feel pressured to like be performing.
Yeah. And but to be fair, I loved your video when you said, I'm going to quote what you said. You said, I'm not going to find happiness in a follower account. No one is going to find happiness in a follower account, because it's intangible. And like, it's so true. Like, I mean, I don't know, is it hard, like, as a model, like, do you nowadays, is it like, can you get jobs based on like your followers? Or is
absolutely that, yeah, really? They'll have at most castings now, when you go, they'll ask for your Instagram name, and a majority of them ask how many followers you have. Yeah.
What? That's
I did not
so
think it would
bad.
Be actually happening like that.
Yeah.
Like, the pressure that must put on someone, like, especially a young person, be like, okay, well, I need to be posting every minute of the every day, and this type of picture and that. Like, oh, the pressure must just be intense.
And then it's really hard to separate work and home life, because you come home and you're like, okay, now I have to work on social media because I have to get my followers up, because that's how I'm going to make money.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah, so... okay, kind of changing a little bit now, but still based on that social media. Why did you actually decide to start a YouTube channel? Was it to kind of, I don't know, highlight what actually modeling is like? Or what was kind of the thought behind that?
Honestly, I started it out of boredom. Just one day I was bored, and I had always loved watching YouTube videos, so I'm like, this could kind of be fun to do. My first video, literally, I filmed it the wrong way. I did vertical instead of horizontal. and I just fell in love with the process of like filming a video and the editing process. And I realized I could showcase, you know, the real side of modeling that maybe isn't shown in other vlogs. Yeah. And, you know, just, I don't know, it's a great platform to have, and, you know, show more about like, you know, the sides of the industry people don't probably think about.
Yeah, 100%. Like, even this podcast, like, I've taken away so many things. I'm like, oh my, I had no idea about any of this sort of stuff. And, you know, sometimes people don't talk about all that. And it, like you say, like, it's kind of like social media. Everyone only shows the good side. And I think, like, your YouTube channel is, like, really refreshing. Yo. It's just, like, someone, like, a friend. You know what I mean? It's just, like, you just, like, you're watching your friend, like, in their, with their little cat. Oh, my God, I love your cat.
Cooper.
Oh.
He's the star of this show for sure.
Oh, but
but I totally feel like on my end, I feel that sense of friendship when I post a video, and like I see people comment who I remember have commented on other videos, and it feels like a sense of like I'm sending these videos to my friend, or I'm FaceTiming with my friend when I film them. And it's really grown. Like, my channel started out 100% being just the life of the model, but then as time grew on, I realized like, my life is more than just being a model. So I've really been enjoying like incorporating other videos, like cooking, even though I can't cook, but you know, I'll show you that if you can't cook, you can still kind of cook some things.
No, totally.
And, you know, like comedy stuff and music and just playing with all the different formats that YouTube has, because I think that's the best part about YouTube is there's literally endless amounts of ways that you can be creative on it.
Yeah,
so true.
And I mean, that's what I was gonna say, like, you know, you do like music and stuff and acting as well, like, are they kind of in the plans for the future? Like, what's your kind of plans for the future, I guess?
Oh yeah, I think eventually I would love to like segue fully into acting and music, because there's more substance to it, you know. It's yeah. more of, you have more input. Like, for example, I did a role on this show called Tommy here in the U.S., and just the difference between how you're treated on set, and people are more open to your, even though you're reading someone else's lines, they'll say, well, what do you think this character would use their inflection in the voice? Like, how would you perceive that to be? And, like, you get yeah. an input, and it's so nice to have an input, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. And it's more fun as well. You can be, like, so... Like, you can like, go into all these different kind of avenues and, like, yeah, I like music as well and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to just yeah. be creative. It's, like, a good outlet to be creative and stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's more inspiring and creative. And music, for me, though, is the one thing that's, like, I know my passion, because it's the thing that I do when I should be doing laundry. You know, they say yeah. that's where your true passion is.
Yeah, that's so
that's
true.
Interesting. But they, you do your own music as well, like, writing your own songs. Like, some of them just on the spot as well. And I just think, yeah, that's mm-hmm. pretty crazy and cool. Like, I wish I yeah. had that musical talent.
It's fun. Yeah, I love writing songs.
Well, hopefully after Corona has come to a kind of end, hopefully sometime you'll be able to pursue that a bit more, as well as mm-hmm. acting. Hopefully stuff starts to open up.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it. I've been just like clamoring for it.
I know. I think we all are, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, kind of last question, Alexandra, is what kind of advice would you maybe have for someone who's a bit clueless in their life? Maybe they're in their early 20s and kind of just not really sure what they want to do next. From your experience, what would you really advise them?
Well, I think the first thing is just to know that it's okay to feel clueless. I think a lot of us feel clueless and think we're the only ones who are, and think everyone else has their stuff together and we're just like wandering for the next phase or whatever, but everyone's lost, you know?
Yeah.
And just follow what's in your heart. Like, everyone I feel like has like that deep, you know, that dream or that idea or something they love. And even if you don't know the steps to get there, or if it even doesn't even make sense or doesn't seem like a plausible dream, you know, one of my favorite people ever, Stevie Nicks. And I take so much inspiration from her story because, you know, she was 27 years old, a cleaning lady and a waitress, and broke. And her first album was a commercial flop. And her parents were, like, begging her to move home and go back to school, saying, like, you got to give it up. It's just not going to happen for you. But she stuck to it because she had this dream in her heart. And she had no idea how she was going to get there, but she just knew she would get there.
That's
so
nice.
I think it's just important to just believe in your dreams and believe that God and the stars will align and it eventually will work out. But I think fretting over like the steps to get there kind of make you a little bit crazy.
Yeah. I had no idea as well about her story. That's
yeah.
No, I didn't as well. Wow. That is actually mm-hmm. very crazy. That's very cool. Inspiring.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Right.
I
love it.
Well, you've been a great guest. Hella inspiring. And really good to have like an honest and like raw conversation about all these kinds of things. So we really, really appreciate you like coming on to talk to us today. Do you want to like plug anything? Plug your YouTube, plug your music.
Like, yeah, well, first of all, like, thanks for having me. Honestly, like, this conversation has been, it's been great to talk with you guys and hear that you guys have also struggled with things that, you know, I just think it's important to have these conversations with people, because sometimes you don't in life because you don't want it to be awkward or whatever, but it's really helpful. And plug-wise, I guess just my YouTube is Alexandria Morgan and Instagram is Alexandria to the max. And I just recently got on TikTok because
what the dark trend side.
Yeah. Literally.
I'm the same.
It's so
though,
addictive. Like, I'm spending
too, much time. TikTok. Yeah.
It's too easy to just scroll endlessly. Like, I can't look at it before bed or I'll be up way too late.
No, I need to learn that. I just keep doing it every single night. Just there I am till the early hours.
Yeah,
thank you so much again for chatting to us. Yeah, we really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
Just want to say a massive thank you again to Alexandria for coming onto the podcast. I mean, I've learned a lot about the modeling industry that I just had no idea about, just like the pressure of it all, the pressure of the followers, and it's pretty crazy. And I think I just find it really super interesting. And also, I think a lot of what she said can definitely apply to people just in just going into like standard kind of 9-to-5 jobs or something a bit more conventional, just how you're entering a working world and you may not have that much knowledge about it, maybe taking advantage of, especially as a young 20-something girl. I think, yeah, her tips on finding confidence and, yeah, recognizing your self-worth were a lot of people can relate to, and yeah, it was really informative and really interesting. So yeah, thanks again, Alexandria.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Alexandria. Like you said, Rachel, I learned so many things about kind of modeling industry, and you know, it was really refreshing and honest conversations. And yeah, guys, as always, don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on Instagram at @Clueless_. Drop us a little rating if you enjoyed this episode and our other episodes. Thank you so much, guys, and we can't wait to speak to you all and hear from you all next week.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.